Hey, great friends. What's going on? It is Monday, and we're just putting it all back together again because, as you know, Thursday, Friday, we had to take the days off. I'll talk about Browner and the whole situation. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, you'll find out. For those of you that already do know, you know the story, but I'll get there. Alex, I want to mention a bunch of our partners, and I'll start off with this. For everybody that's watching right now, have you downloaded the Prize Picks app? Listen, we've been promoting Prize Picks since the start of football season, okay? And our friends from Prize Picks contacted me this past week, and they're like, dude, there's been like a major slowdown in the Kaplan and Crew audience from downloading the app and putting money in and playing the game. Guys, listen, I'm not trying to tell you that you got to get into play just to help the show, but I'll tell you this right now. It is so much fun to play Prize Picks. It's so easy. You take two players. You could take, I'll give you an example. Alex, did you watch, I know you were at a wedding this weekend, but did you watch or did you see any of the highlights of UFC 300?
I seen Max Holloway.
Okay. So me too. So I had, because they gave you Prize Picks, they gave you a free pick essentially. Okay. They gave you Gaethje, right? Is that how yes, you pronounce the dude's name? Gaethje. Okay. They gave you, all he needed to do was have one significant strike. He had 103. Okay. So I took Gaethje, which was a gift. And then I took Aljamain Sterling for two takedowns. I went more. He had eight. Dude, I put $20 in. I won $60. It was awesome. And I really, tell you the truth, I'm not really like the biggest MMA fan. So for me, and it's not that I don't like the sport. It's just that I don't buy the things. I watch all the social media stuff, and that knockout at the end was incredible. But they gave you a free pick. So it's going to change the way you watch sports. Download the Prize Picks app now, especially getting ready for basketball playoffs and all the baseball stuff that's going on. Download the Prize Picks app. Use our code GREATFRIENDS. They're going to match your first deposit 100% up to $100. Great friends, if you love the show and you want to keep supporting the show, the best thing you could do right now is download the Prize Picks app and use our code GREATFRIENDS. Okay, let me keep going. Hey, our friends at 7 Mile Casino. Their website is 7milecasino.com. You want to play blackjack or poker or other table games. You want to have a great brunch, lunch, dinner at Sammy's restaurant and bar. You want to do it in a smoke-free environment, and you don't want to schlep 30 miles east in San Diego County. It's 7 minutes south of downtown San Diego. And especially now that the baseball season has started, you're going back and forth to the ballpark. Stop by, have a great lunch, brunch, or dinner. Play games, come on out and have fun. 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com. Hey, a big shout out to our people at Blenders. Check these out. These are the newest ones that I've been rocking because if you remember 2 weeks ago, I bought six brand new pairs of Blenders. I love these. But today I'm breaking these out because these are the Blenders Red Bull series. You know, they're involved in F1 auto racing. These are the Blenders and these are the racing glasses. And I'm just breaking these out and they've got such a cool design on them. I love them. So I had a guy hit me up this past weekend on Twitter and he's like, hey man, I bought some Blenders and their customer service sucks, man. And they sent the stuff to the wrong address. I'm like, bro, I will help you. You don't need to try and embarrass a company on social media. I get that's the way it works now. You're not happy with something customer service wise. Rather than emailing them or calling them, you try and humiliate them on social media. You know what he did? He did that. I said, I'll help. I texted Chase Fisher. I sent him a picture of what was going on Twitter. Chase, like, I hate when people do this on Twitter. Me too. And guess what? We got the shit fixed. Okay. That's the way we do it around here. And Blenders, we love you guys. Use our code Kaplan. You'll save 20%. You might as well buy a whole bunch of sunglasses like I just did. All right. I'll have more at halftime. Let's get today's show started. Let's go. Hey, great friends. What's going on? It is Tuesday on Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man. And as always, we're coming to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. You're looking for a great place to play blackjack, play poker. Wait a second. Watch playoff basketball games. Watch baseball games, especially right now while the Padres are in the central time zone, or maybe you're watching the Lakers in the early game today. You want a great place to play cards, watch sports, eat amazing food at Sammy's restaurant and bar, have a nice drink, 24/7, easy parking, freeway access, like right off the freeway, 7 minutes south of downtown San Diego. And oh, by the way, I always say this for last, no smoking. It's 7 Mile Casino, and their website is 7milecasino.com. We're just getting onto the airwaves of 1090, onto the stream of YouTube, onto all the audio podcast platforms, and plastered all over TV tonight. And we're just getting rolling here. Grande, good afternoon to you, sir.
Yeah, man. What's up? How you doing? How you living?
I'm doing all right. This morning.
You want to get anything off your chest?
Well, I mean, listen, I'm having a kind of a crazy day. I'm coming in super hot today because, you know, the Lakers play in an hour from now. They play at, you know, 4 and change, right? And so my radio partner in L.A., Sedano, had his brilliant brainstorm, which is, what if me and Cap do the morning show from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. rather than our normal show, which would be from 4 to 7 p.m., and nobody checks with me until the last minute. And then everybody just expect me to say yes, because I always say yes to everything. And so I left San Diego this morning at 4:15 a.m. I arrived in downtown L.A. at 5:44 a.m. I did flying. Morning. What's that?
Flying.
Oh, 90 miles an hour, pitch black, half asleep, drinking coffee, nobody on the roads. It was actually kind of fun. And then, you know, go from doing morning radio and then this, you know, now we're on air. It's just been a hell of a freaking day.
Do you have a permanent residence inside that hotel you stay in? Like, is that the Cappy suite there?
I actually,
like, if you roll up at 6:15 in the morning or whatever time, you know, that's not a standard check-in time,
right?
You know, that's not a, hey, is my room ready kind of time? No. So like, is that suite? Do you have like your own corner where you're overlooking the shooting facility? I mean, that restaurant right across, like, it's like, hey, here's my bag, stick it to my room.
Not the shooting facility known as Fixins across the street.
Yes.
No, I don't have a standard suite. I use a different room every time I'm there, but it's actually funny you say that because, when I got off the radio earlier today, by the way, Alex, I realized I hadn't done morning radio since 2012 when Billy Ray and I got fired, which was in February of 2012, because we had come back from the Super Bowl. And I remember our program director, Mike Shepard at the time at 1090, said, hey, listen, because he walked into our office before we left for the Super Bowl, and they were starting to have some controversy swirl about me saying this Sasquatch comment back then. And he said, hey, there's this one caller. He's called the radio station. He's called the newspaper. He's called the television network. And this guy's on a rampage. But I remember Shepard saying to me, don't talk to the media. Don't take calls from the Union Tribune. Don't talk to anybody. We got your back. It was no big deal. It was completely benign. We went to the Super Bowl, Billy Ray and I. We came back from the Super Bowl. We were on the radio Monday morning. Channel 7, like NBC 7, came in to do like a morning, you know, Super Bowl recap with us. And at the end of the interview, the young lady who was the reporter at the time, she goes, so Scott, my producers are in my ear telling me that you were embroiled in some sort of a controversy. And I said something which was, oh, you know, just goofing around. No big deal. It's just locker room stuff. You know, we don't really apologize for that. And that afternoon I got fired. Literally that afternoon I got fired, which, by the way, Billy Ray and I went to a contract negotiation meeting with our agent, Big Bad Brad Samuel back then. And Brad, me, and Billy Ray went to the Grand Del Mar, where we set up a conference room. We were meeting Larry Patrick, who was the CEO of the company at the time. And he looked across the table at me and he said, Billy Ray, you are the greatest guy on the planet. We love you. We think you're the second best Christian on the planet behind Tim Tebow. Scott, you're an a-hole and you're fired. That's pretty much the way it went down.
Did they actually say you're the second best Christian behind Tim Tebow?
Behind Tim Tebow. That's exactly what he said. And he told me that I'm an a-hole and he told me I was fired. And we're like, wait a second, aren't we here for a contract renegotiation? They're like, yeah, we were until, you know, we decided that we're going to fire you. And by the way,
you didn't listen to a direct demand, which was don't talk to the media.
They brought the TV cameras in the next morning.
So they set you up.
It wasn't me. And by the way, they had already called Dave and Jeff to replace us. And by the time they got back and told everybody that we were fired, there was like a revolt at 1090. But by that time, it was too late. Nonetheless, here's my point. That was the last time I've done morning radio, 2012. We moved to afternoon drive in December of 2012 when we went back on the air. When the guys who fired us, we sued them, won, and got all of them fired. And by the way, that guy, Larry Patrick, who was the guy who was in charge back then, I just read a story online about his wife not paying like tens of millions of dollars in taxes and having to go to jail. Bad guy really? That he was. Yeah, you never heard about that?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. Would you put Google alerts on for Larry Patrick hoping for bad things to happen in 2012? Yes! Yeah. This guy pays taxes. Woo!
To be honest with you, the reason I think I even know the story is because Hacksaw usually sends it. According to Google, through an investigation that stretched across 7+ years, the IRS discovered that Patrick had omitted $10 million worth of income tax from her business filings, in turn, $9.5 million from her personal tax returns. And here's the headline. Radio station owner could be imprisoned for multi-million dollar tax fraud. And this is all his wife.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I mean, just bad people, dude. Just bad guy. Anyway, so yes, I'm coming in hot today.
So how
I'm
you feeling?
Very hot. I'm feeling okay. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling okay.
Could you do morning radio again?
If I had to do morning radio, I could probably do 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. I don't want to do 6 a.m. to 10. Yeah. I wouldn't want to do 6 a.m. to 9. Although I would take 6 to 9 rather than 6 to 10, obviously. Yeah, if I had to, I probably could, but I'll just say this. When you're on the radio at 6 o'clock in the morning, you have no nightlife of any kind, you know, none.
Or life.
Right. Dude, there used to be a time where Billy Ray and I used to go on the air at 5.
Yeah, I remember.
5 a.m.
I was your intern. I'd be there at 4 something.
Dude, John Lynch would say to us, you're going on the air at 5. And I'd say, John, why do we need to go on the air at 5? He said, dude, you don't understand. Traffic patterns have changed. People are in their car earlier. We were so annoyed that we used to have to go on the air at 5 o'clock in the morning. The mics would light up at 5:02 a.m. And our first 30 minutes of the show was called Who's Up and Why.
Right. I remember.
Yeah. And we would just take phone calls from people who are awake and they would explain to us what they were doing up so early.
Would you be awake during those phone calls?
Usually if the stories were good.
Right.
You know, so like we had this guy call one time. And we're like, so who's up and why? And here's Steve on, you know, wherever he's at. And he go, hey, Steve, what are you doing up so early? Mm-hmm. He goes, well, you know, guys, I'm a professional thief. We're like, professional thief? What do you mean? Like, he's like, yeah, you know, I rob people at night. And we're like,
okay,
you're kidding me. And he's like, no, I'm not kidding you one bit. We're like, okay, well, what did you do last night? Mm-hmm. He's like, well, at about 11 o'clock, I broke into somebody's car.
Mm-hmm.
About 12:30, I was sitting at a bar and there was somebody sitting next to me and they had their wallet on the bar and I took their wallet.
Mm-hmm.
And, 2:30 in the morning, I broke into somebody's house.
That sounds like a good night.
Oh, for him it was.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a hot night. No, three crimes, one night. No, yeah. Zero arrests.
I know.
One phone call.
It's such a weird thing, man. You know, when you're on the radio and you've been on the radio as long as we have, you never know what happens. Just to give you one example, earlier today, okay, I got done with that morning show on 710 up in LA. I had a business meeting thereafter with somebody I've never met before and somebody who I connected with on LinkedIn. I don't know this guy. He doesn't know me, right? I don't know his business. I've never heard of the company, et cetera. We get on the Zoom call and he says to me, hey, listen, this company, which is about music, is my life, but my passion in life is sports. I love sports. He goes, do you mind if I call you Cappy? I'm a daily listener. Mm-hmm. So you just never know like who you're going to reach and who you're going to connect with. And that's whether it was a thief at 5 o'clock in the morning
right.
or a business call in the middle of the day, you just never know when you're in this.
I have more questions about the thief. Like, yeah, is that a standard thing that thieves call in radio shows, like confess their crimes?
I don't know that it's standard, right. But I don't also know that there were a lot of radio shows going on there at 5 o'clock in the morning with an opening bit of who's up and why. Right.
Who's like, was this thief a violent criminal?
Not a violent criminal. No, no, no.
Well,
he just stole property. Yeah, no,
not
but
that night.
I did ask that question.
But would he be violent if push comes to shove? If you're in a stranger's home and you're about to get, you know, caught, would you violently work your way out of a situation? I'm assuming so. You're not going to just be like, oh, there it is. Got caught.
Hey,
My bad.
My bad, y'all. Oh, I'm in the wrong house. This isn't my house. My bad. My bad, y'all.
Sorry.
Yeah.
What are you doing with that bag? What are you doing with that pillowcase of stuff? I sleepwalk. I thought I was in my home.
My bad. Just want to use the bathroom, y'all.
Yeah. Man, you should bring that back.
I know. It's a good idea. Who's up and
let's
why?
Let's just record at 5 a.m. and then air it later.
It's not a bad idea. We
well, it's a terrible idea.
Actually, yeah, it's a horrible idea.
It's a terrible idea.
I don't know. I don't know why you came up with it. And I don't know why I said it was a good idea. It was a horrible idea.
Because you've been up since 4 in the morning, 3 in the morning, probably.
It was a horrible idea. Hey, yeah. let me do this. I want to run something by you. And then I want to tell everybody, you know, yesterday we spent some time on the air talking about the Browner situation. And it's kind of a weird thing. Talk about like reaching people on the radio. Mm-hmm. So we were off the air last Thursday and Friday because Browner was in Chicago dealing with the death of his mother and his sister. And Alex was at a wedding in Texas. And by the way, I thought you said it beautifully yesterday that you were in the back of a party bus on Friday dealing with posting on social media so that we could raise as much money for Browner as we could, as fast as we could. And you said it really well. You're like, hey, listen, you never know. I mean, he's dealing with two deaths. You're dealing with a couple getting married. And you're in the back of a party bus while he's mourning, you know, the greatest sadness that the guy has ever known in his life and will ever know in his life. And you just said, you know, hug the people you love, care about them, tell them you love them, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm glad you said it yesterday because I don't think I told you, but my father has been in the hospital for like the last 4 days. And you remember he had that incident where he was playing pickleball and he was short of breath and they thought he was having a heart attack, but he had like the Damar Hamlin VTAC thing.
Yeah.
And they took him to the hospital and they installed like a new carburetor or something in his chest, you know, and he had a somewhat similar situation happen last week. He's been in the hospital for like the last 4 days. So he just finally got out this morning. And this whole time I've been feeling guilty. Like, man, I need to fly to Florida and go visit my parents, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, here's a quick update on the Browner thing. And then I want to kind of get your thought on this. Have you seen the Browner GoFundMe? Have you seen what's happened?
And you told me yesterday, but I haven't looked today.
Oh, let me tell you what happened. So Friday, I put out this video on social media. Hey guys, look, you know, Browner's mom died. This is right after his sister died. Given that he's got four kids and given that he's, he's had to schlep back and forth and he's got two funerals, it has become just so incredibly expensive that he's actually willing to accept our help. Mm-hmm. So we put together this GoFundMe on Friday of last week. In less than 24 hours, Browner had told us that his goal was to try and get $3,000. In under 24 hours, we had well over $6,000.
Right.
Which was great because I know he told me that the funeral was like $9,500. I didn't understand why he put out the GoFundMe for $3,000. So yesterday being Monday is our first day back on the air. Mm-hmm. And so... We talked about this extensively yesterday. And people who are driving down the road listening on the radio, people who are watching on TV, people who are watching on YouTube, et cetera, this is their first exposure. Not everybody saw it on Twitter. Not everybody saw it on Instagram, right? So yesterday, people start making donations to the GoFundMe based on having heard about it on radio and having heard about it, on YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. This morning, I get an email from a longtime great friend. I won't say his name on the air because he made a $1,000 donation anonymously. This, by the way, comes after yesterday when the incredibly generous Toby McDonald from Rock and Wine Tours in Temecula donated $1,000. So yesterday, Toby donated $1,000. Today, we had an anonymous donation of $1,000. Alex, I'll tell you who the gentleman is because you know him. Mm-hmm. And right now, if I go to the Browner, in fact, you could probably pull it up better than I can.
Yeah.
Browner's GoFundMe, which was to pay for the funeral of his mother and his sister and to help him with the costs of traveling back and forth and missing all this time from work and the childcare for the four kids and everything else. I can't see it, Alex, because it's not big enough on my screen, but how much are we at here with the Browner GoFundMe?
It's a few bucks away from $11,000.
Nearly $11,000. And by the way, that's over the course of, I want to say, 123 donations. You realize that 123 people listened to the show and were motivated to help Browner in this incredible time of financial and emotional stress. 100 people. 100 people. raised over $10,000 to help somebody that everybody loves who's going through the hardest time of his entire life. And by the way, today's the funeral.
Going through it as we speak, actually. Yeah.
Right now, the funeral for Browner's mom is happening right now. And so while he's been back there dealing with the funerals and the costs and cleaning out the apartment and essentially putting closure to his mother's life, today the funeral is happening literally right now as we speak. And I just want to say to everybody once again, because somebody said this to me up in LA here this morning. You know Alan Sliwa. Mm-hmm. Alan Sliwa is a kid who, when he was coming out of San Diego State, his first job was working for us at 1090. He was an entry-level sales guy, mm-hmm. sitting in a cubicle, cutting out like ads in magazines and newspapers, trying to figure out who he could call to try and sell advertising to. Now he's the host of the morning show at 710. He went from sales guy. He moved to LA to become a sales guy so he could work around the Lakers. And now he's got an on-air job. He said to me this morning, he goes, "Man, Cap, that is a testament to the community that you and Alex and Browner have built, that over 100 people would be mobilized and incentivized, motivated by love to donate over $10,000 to help this young man out and his family." And I was like, you know what, man, when you're living in it and you're just trying to help him out, you don't even think about it. But it's true, Alex. The community of great friends, Joe Rigby with $619, Brett Weiss from Mushroom Life with $500, Craig Gerber, who I haven't seen in years, but who's been a longtime great friend, with $500. My boy Sedano with $500, and everybody, 100, 20, 40, 25, 50. So many of the names that you would know, if I started to read these names off, you go, "Oh, I know them from the YouTube chat." Guys, I don't know what to say, man. I really don't know what to say. That is,
it was someone on the GoFundMe, Ned Ardagna. Sorry if I screwed your last name up. Very simple and very, you know, to the point. So sometimes it takes a village, but I'm proud to be part of yours.
Oh, man. Yeah. I can't thank you guys enough. I really can't thank you enough, because what you've done is you've helped Browner so much when he's needed our help. So thank you, everybody. Really appreciate all you guys. I really appreciate everything that everybody's done. And I just can't believe over $10,000 raised, you know. Truly amazing. Truly, truly amazing. All right. Hey, Alex, tonight, or coming up in about an hour from now, I'm going to make a very hard left turn here. Lakers and Pelicans tonight. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to play Prize Picks. Okay. I've got two different plays going. Yesterday, you suggested Rui Hachimura for 19.5 points, rebounds, and assists in total. Mm-hmm. I think when they played on Sunday, he had like 21 or 22. Putting that together with Brandon Ingram, who's fresh back from injury for New Orleans, I'm playing him at more than 18.5 points. He only scored.
Fill your card out already?
Yeah, I've already filled it out.
Oh, I was going to say, because today is Taco Tuesday, and for the next, well, for you, you can still do it.
Well, Anthony wait, Davis. Let me tell you what I did with Anthony Davis, because I played Anthony Davis on Taco Tuesday. I played Anthony Davis at 20.5 points. Okay, you can see it right there on the screen. And I put him together with Herbert Jones of the Pelicans, mm-hmm. to get more than 3.5 rebounds.
Oh,
I think he had 7 rebounds in the game on Sunday.
Herbert Jones.
Yeah. So I've got like two different prize picks going for this Pelicans Lakers game. I've got Herbert Jones for more than 3.5 rebounds. I've got Anthony Davis for more than 20.5 points. My second play is I've got Rui Hachimura for more than 19.5 total points, rebounds, and assists. And I've got Brandon Ingram for more than 18.5 points. Let's go, Prize Picks. Let's go.
Get it.
Yeah. I'm hoping to be a big winner. Here's my biggest problem right now is that with baseball every day, I want to play baseball every day. Yesterday, I had Bryce Harper to have 2 total bases. He only had 1. I actually misunderstood the box score. He had a hit and a walk. I thought that was 2 total bases. So
also, we did give out the Musgrove more than 4.5 hits.
We gave out the Musgrove give up a run in the first inning yesterday.
Yes.
So, hey, everybody, listen, download the Prize Picks app. Okay. This is another, I hate to turn this into like such an opportunity, but you talk about helping Browner. This is how we do it around here. This is how we make it happen. Download the Prize Picks app. Use our code GREATFRIENDS And they're going to match your first deposit 100% up to $100. If you've not yet downloaded the Prize Picks app, I want you to do it today. Download Prize Picks. Use our code GREATFRIENDS. We're just getting rolling. Let's do it. This is Kaplan and Crew. Hey, great friends. What's going on Tuesday on Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man? Hey, for those of you guys that are just getting with us on radio, 1090 listeners, wherever you are, home base, San Diego, Orange County, LA, up to Santa Barbara, Grande's crib, the Oxnard, the 805. Hey, I'll just say it one more time. I'll probably keep on saying it. We expect Browner back on Thursday. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody who has helped us raise over $10,000 to help Browner and his family. As his sister died, then his mother died, and all this happened within like a week to 10 days, two funerals, back and forth to Chicago, incredible amounts of financial stress and emotional stress. So for everybody that has helped along the way, thank you. And by the way, for those of you that haven't or couldn't, don't worry about it. I'm telling you, we've raised over $10,000. Okay. I think we're good by now. So thank you. I'm not trying to say don't, if you can, or if you want to feel free, but I think we're kind of good right now, you know? So thanks again to everybody. And by the way, the Toby McDonald, $1,000 yesterday from Rock and Wine Tours. And because I remember, Alex, when Toby's business during COVID was just failing, unfortunately, because nobody could do anything. And now he is back to it, man. And he is killing it. And he takes these bachelorette parties. Last week, he sent me pictures. He had like some cheerleading squad from Arizona State. And all these girls were all decked out in pink. And he's like, look what's going on. I'm like, boy, I'd like to be there with those girls right now. Mm. By the way, speaking of those girls, just a complete side note. Did anybody besides me watch the WNBA draft last night?
If you're asking me, my answer is no, but I do know what happened.
Okay. I want to just say,
for the record, I don't watch any draft.
Yeah, me neither. But for some reason, I'm still in that Caitlin Clark mode. And she was just on SNL this past Saturday night. And she was so funny. I'm going to say something right now. This may be a controversial statement, but I'm going to say
it. Here we go.
I think Caitlin Clark's hot.
That's kind of like, I'm going to wait for Browner to come back and he can address that. That's more his expertise. You know, he called Taylor Swift a five. I'll wait for Browner.
I'm going to make another statement that I think might be even more controversial.
Angel Reese is hotter.
Angel Reese is smoking. Okay.
Yeah.
Who's the chick that was drafted number two from Stanford? That tall girl, 6'4". I don't know what her name is, but she's smoking hot too. Angel Reese is smoking. I mean, these girls are hot.
Cameron Brink.
Yeah, she's so hot. And listen, she's super tall. She's wearing this long dress with a slit all the way up to the top of her leg. And listen, no different than if you watch the NBA draft and you see all the different outfits and it's like a fashion show and ladies would say, hey, that guy's smoking hot. That guy's really good looking. I think he's really hot. I'm saying the same thing. These girls are world-class basketball players. They're amazing. I'm more interested in them than I ever have been before in my life. And then you just showed that picture. If you put it up there one more time, this girl who's the number two overall pick from Stanford, she's 6'4". Look at that dress she's wearing. Look at that slit. You see her entire leg. I'm telling you right now, I've never been into women's college basketball. I've never been into the WNBA. I'm now like the average sports fan who got into this because of Caitlin Clark. I'm not about to tell you that I'm going to buy season tickets to the LA Sparks, but I'm more interested than ever before. And not only because they're great basketball players, these girls are great looking. And I know I sound creepy because they're like the same age as my daughter, you know?
Who'd the Sparks get?
The Sparks got... they had the number two pick and the number four pick. So that girl right there that you just showed, the girl from Stanford, they got her. And then they got a guard from...
Rekia Jackson.
Who?
Rekia Jackson.
Yeah, from Tennessee, I think.
Yes.
I'm like a women's basketball expert now.
You and a lot of other people, man.
Yeah. See, like you're an F1 expert or you're a European soccer expert. Now I'm like a women's basketball expert.
You and Browner. Remember he came on that one random show? And he was just like, yeah, I watched three NCAA women's basketball games last night. And it was like, it wasn't even the tournament yet.
Yeah. And it wasn't Iowa.
No, it wasn't Iowa. Yeah. And he was like, Caitlin Clark sucks. You know who's really good? Juju Watkins.
Yeah.
Remember all that?
Yep, I do.
Yeah. Hot takes.
Right. Yeah, big time. All right, listen, we are in the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. This is Kaplan and Crew on a Tuesday. And definitely want to get into the Padres and another comeback win. And by the way, you know, listen, Manny Machado said it the other day after the Dodgers series where they took 2 out of 3. Oh, you know, it's just a series. It's early in the season. People are going to make more of it than it really is. And maybe we will, because it's the Dodgers and it's on the road. And the Dodgers right now have Ohtani and $700 million.
Think all of a sudden.
But my point is going to be right. The Dodgers, who lost yesterday to the Washington Nationals, and listen, against the Padres on Sunday, they gave up 14 walks. 14 walks. And then the new ace of their staff, Tyler Glasnow, he got pounded on last night by Washington. Mm-hmm. But if we bring it home, the Padres won that series against the Dodgers, and you talked about this yesterday. Now, if you could just put some wins together. And yes, to play a team like Milwaukee, that's a first-place caliber team, and win the first game of that series, it'd be great to win the series, but at least it's a good start, especially the way Joe Musgrove has started. Something's wrong with Joe Musgrove.
Well, he figured it out. He got through it. How about that? He got through it. He came out, and he looked terrible in the first inning. He did not look good in the second. He gave a home run in the second inning. But he got through it. He went 6, which is not what it looked like he was going to do. So, but no, I even tweeted it from Kaplan and Crew last night. I was like, is Musgrove hurt?
Yeah.
Like, what is he pitching through things right now? Because he doesn't look like pay that money Musgrove right now. He mm-hmm. really doesn't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, since he got paid, and I'm not blaming paying the guy, since he got paid, he got hurt at the beginning of last year in spring training.
Yeah.
And then, as I recall, he was kind of hurt at the end of last year as well.
Yeah, but he still had a good season, decent season last year. You know, he only pitched less than 20 times.
Yeah. And then his spring was terrible this year.
That was, mm-hmm.
And he's just not been the same guy. And by the way, listen, we are all rooting for Joe Musgrove. You know, I mean, Joe Musgrove is, in my opinion, he's the face of the team. He's the local San Diego kid that got to come home, that got to make the big money, that has pitched in some of the highest leverage pressure situations. It was that postseason game in New York against the Mets. It was that Saturday night against the Dodgers. I mean, it's the no hitter, the first in organizational history. I mean, he's a San Diego Padres local sports quote unquote hero. Mm-hmm. And we all want Joe Musgrove to do well.
No, we need.
That's probably a better way of looking at
it. We need. It's not just hope. It's we need. Yeah. If the Padres are going to be a successful postseason type team, they're going to need Joe Musgrove to start pitching better.
All right. So why don't you set us up here? Let's take a look at what we've got from yesterday's game before we get ready for today's game. I see that first video I've got here is it's a 4-3 game. Padres are up in this game, top of the fifth inning. Mm-hmm. And let's go to the video and tell us what we're about to look at.
The rookie of the year, the Padres MVP, their star center fielder, Jackson Merrill, coming through again.
Into center field, Perkins on the move, can't get there, drops down for another base hit. Couple of runs, going to score. And a little Merrill madness here in Milwaukee as the Padres lead it 6-3.
I'm going to assume that you didn't watch yesterday.
No, I saw quite a bit of the game, okay, as a matter of fact.
Because if you watch that inning, or like Joe Ross, he did give up, I don't know, was it 5-6 runs that inning? I don't think they hit a ball hard the entire inning. It was just mm-hmm. one of those, let's just put it in play, let's put it in play, let's put it in play, and good things happen, and that's exactly what happened.
The thing about this kid, Jackson Merrill, is, and Alex, you can put up some of the numbers to show it off to everybody who's watching, but we'll read them for everybody who's listening. We had these questions coming in at the beginning of the year, 20-year-old kid, you know, getting the start in the big leagues. What's he really going to be able to do? Well, what he has done so far, and I grant you, it's, what is it, 20 games so far?
Yeah, 21. You know?
Yeah. Let's take a look at these numbers.
He's leading the team in average hits and WAR. But I know on this team, on this show, I can't say WAR without getting yelled at. But he's got a homer, 7 RBIs, high OPS. He's been playing stellar defense in center field. Everything that you've wanted to probably more, Scott. Let's be honest. He's producing way more than we thought he would ever do so far.
It's really quite an amazing thing when you're 20 years old and you're probably 3 years removed from high school-ish, you know? I'd have to go back and really look it up. but you're the best high school baseball player of your high school team, probably of your entire community, you know, your county or whatever. Maybe you're the best baseball player in your state, and you work your way up through the minor league system really quick, and you are a 20-year-old starting center fielder of a team that has big-time multi-gazillion dollar stars, and you're the guy that's leading the team in batting average.
And you can't have a beer.
Right. And you're not making any money.
Well, not yet. His birthday's coming up in 3 days.
Okay, gotcha. But yeah. Okay, so maybe he's been out of high school 3 to 4 years. It's just...
He was drafted in 21, so yeah, 3 years.
So, but dude, the thing is that you're just playing ball. That's all you're doing. And all you've ever done is play ball. It just so happens that you were always better than everybody. Mm-hmm. And now you're amongst all the best guys. And all you're doing is what you've done all these years. It just happens to actually translate because you were that good back then. Mm-hmm. And you've just been getting better and better and better. So now you can be in a lineup with Fernando Tatis and Manny Machado and Xander Bogaerts and Jake Cronenworth, and you actually fit. I always find this kind of stuff fascinating.
Yeah, but I also want to remind people that he is a rookie. He will struggle. He will slump at some point. But he's already shown to you that he belongs where he's at. You know, he belongs on the roster. He probably belongs at a lot higher up in the lineup than where he than majority of the time he hits. So when he goes through his issues, when pitchers start to figure him out, and as he figures out how to be a pro for a whole season, let's relax. Let's not call him, you know, a bust. Let's not overreact right now. You know, 'cause this is what we do. This is what we do to every player, you know, yeah. Like, so let's just, it's great. It's 19 games.
But I just will say this, you know, like last night I was watching highlights on SportsCenter and I think I saw Anthony Rizzo for the Yankees, you know, and you look at a guy like that. And I can remember when Anthony Rizzo was traded to the Padres. And I remember his very first at bat and his very first pitch because he swung for the fences because he's like, I only got one first pitch in the major leagues. I might as well go for it. And it was a strike. And then they traded him away. And I don't remember when Rizzo was traded. Because they had gotten Rizzo, as I recall, you'll have to check me on this. I believe that Rizzo came to the Padres as part of an Adrian Gonzalez move to the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. And then I want to say that Rizzo was moved to Chicago.
Oh, wow. You're doing so good for who?
Am I really?
Yeah.
But I can't remember who the Padres got back from Chicago. And I can't even remember if it was the White Sox or the Cubs. I feel like it was the Cubs. But who did the Padres get from the Cubs that they were willing to trade Rizzo? My point is this.
Come on.
You know, who did the Padres get from the Cubs?
Can I give you a hint?
Yeah, go ahead.
It was a pitcher.
Pitcher I could see. That's why I was trying to confuse between Rizzo, the White Sox and the Cubs and James Shields. I felt like maybe I was in that range.
No, James Shields was Tatis.
Okay, right. So Rizzo to the Cubs. Cubs return the Padres a pitcher. Starting pitcher.
Well, he was as good as it got, you know, back then for the Padres.
As good
star
as
star pitcher?
Got.
No.
Okay. But as good as it got for the Padres. Okay.
It's
give me
not
more.
Chris Paddock.
Okay.
But bearded, tall white guy.
Tall white guy, bearded, long hair, short hair.
Longish.
I don't know. You got me. I give up.
Cashner.
Who?
Andrew Cashner.
Oh God, I completely wouldn't never. I got
well,
no
that's
chance.
What we're talking about. You're talking about freaking 2012, dude.
My point is that when you see a guy like Rizzo, Anthony Rizzo, you realize what kind of an incredible career that guy had. Mm-hmm. And that first at bat, okay, when Rizzo came to the Padres, that's where we are here with Jackson Merrill. We're in the first 20 games of his big league career, and who knows what 10 years down the road is going to be for this young man. But look where he is after the first 20 games of his major league career. He's the Padres' leading hitter in terms of total number of hits and batting average. That's insane.
Yep, it's insane, and it's necessary. You know, I think Bob Scanlon said it best yesterday. I was listening a little bit on the radio. I was driving. He was like, the most consistent part of the Padres lineup so far this season has been the bottom. You know, it's been Campusano. It's been Profar. It's been Merrill. Like, those guys have been consistently good all year long. And yes, all year is 19 games, but that's a positive step, because you would expect that Machado can keep his 9-game hit streak going and return to his form. You would expect that Tatis can continue to bring that power. You would expect that Ha-Seong Kim can kind of break out of whatever slump he started in. Jake Cronenworth, now hurt, maybe not, you know, we'll see how hurt he really is. And then, you know, I think we're kind of seeing what Xander really is when you watch him every day. You know, when you watch him every day, we kind of see what it is. The numbers at the end of the year will tell a different story, most likely, like it did last year. But when you see it every single day, it's got a bit of a Soto effect to it, those numbers.
Well, that, and also, you know, listen, if you're a Dodger fan and you're watching Mookie Betts every day, every play, you're going to pick apart his play at shortstop and you're going to go, well, but he's been in right field for all these years. I'm going to do the same thing with Bogarts. I mean, there are times where you think it should be just a routine play and he doesn't make it at second base and you're like, well, you know, he hasn't been there, mm-hmm. you know, but we're going to nitpick everything he does. But I will say this, and I said this yesterday, and I got a lot of feedback on this comment, you know, last year's Padres, I freaking hated last year's team. Hated them. I hated the way Tatis had come back and he wasn't the player he once was. I hated the way Machado had come back after carrying the whole team and he wasn't as good as he was. I hated the fact that Soto, who had joined the team previous year, midway through, and it seemed like all he was doing was playing for a contract. I hated the fact that Blake Snell was as good as he was, but again, it was in a contract year. I hated that Bob Melvin was the manager of the team, but he was a babysitter, and he didn't even like being the manager of the team. I hated that AJ Preller was still the general manager of the team. I mean, I hated the Padres last year. No heart, no fight, no guts, no camaraderie, no chemistry, nothing. I hated the team last year. But in the first 20 games of this year, I love that Cronenworth has been hot to start the season. I love that Bogarts was a team guy and moved positions, even though with his contract and his history, he didn't have to do it. I love the fact that Machado is hitting, even though he's not ready to play defense. I love the fact that there's a kid in center field. I'm shocked that Profar is the player that he is for the paltry contract that he has. Yeah. I love the fact that Tatis has come back. I love that Snell's not here and that they replaced him. I love that Soto's not here and we're not talking about his future and his contract. I love that there's a manager that seems to be a good leader and the team has camaraderie and chemistry. So everything I hated about last year's team, thus far through 20 games, I'm loving about this year's team. And that's why these guys make comebacks. You know, they've had five comeback wins.
They've had five comeback wins, and they've had big comeback wins too. It's not just like one-run comebacks. It's four of the last seven wins have been comebacks, five total comebacks, and three of those wins, they were down at least three runs, yesterday being one of them, Sunday being another. So Padres, everything that you said about what you love, I love. Because every time they got in a deficit last year, did we not know it was over?
It was done.
It was done. It was finito. Adios. That game's over. Pack it in. Now, early on, you're like, these guys don't seem to be out of any game. Even as yesterday came out, it looked like they traveled overnight. It looked like they were tired. It looked like they were feeling the effects of playing late Sunday night, getting into Milwaukee, playing right away. It looked like it, and yet they find a way. So props to them. Can I have you admit one more thing?
Go ahead.
So you love the fight. You love everything that you've just mentioned. So do you love what AJ Preller has done to this team?
I have to admit that as much as I said I hated AJ Preller last year and I hated what the team was like and I hated the fact that he still had his job through 20 games, I will give him credit. He had the read of the team that Bob Melvin could not get from them, what they had in the clubhouse, and he had to decide who was the person that he had on staff that could bring that out of them. And I will give him credit. Mike Shildt has been better than I would have known, and Mike Shildt has gotten this team to be a team.
Yeah.
So I will stand corrected through 20 games and say that AJ has done the right thing and got the right guy thus far.
So should we thank Melvin for leaving?
100%.
Like, hey, I love that he left.
Yeah. Bob Melvin, good guy.
Great Bounced. Guy.
Yeah.
Later.
See you later.
Outstage,
dude.
You're welcome, but thank you.
Hey, real quick, before I talk to everybody about Blenders, set up tonight's pitching matchup for everybody.
Yes, sir. Dylan Cease on the mound tonight. He's 1-1 so far in the season. 6.2 innings pitched, 2.16 ERA. And Scott, guess what he has? stuff. 20 strikeouts, 6 walks, going up against Wade Miley. And yes, that is what Wade Miley looks like if you're watching. I was a little stunned with that picture earlier
today. Yeah, look at that face.
I know, like a white walker with a beard. Anyways, he's only pitched 4 innings this year, 2.25 ERA.
Hey, let me have 1 second as we hit this next break to talk to everybody about Blenders Eyewear. If you follow Blenders on social media, they have the best videos. They have got, well, first of all, they got the best sunglasses, polarized lenses, priced right. These, Alex, are the Red Bull racing glasses mm-hmm. that I just broke out of the box. I love the design. I love the colors. I love how funky they are. If you go to blenderseyewear.com and you use our code Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N, you'll save 20% on your Blenders. So if you're going into the store in PB, I go to the store in Encinitas. If you go to another brick and mortar store, use our code Kaplan and you'll save 20%. For those of you that prefer to order online, go for it. Use our code Kaplan. You'll save 20%. For those of you that are watching right now, you can use your phone and you can use our QR code and you'll save 20%. Chase Fisher, you're the man. I love your products. I love your price point. That's why I bought 6 pairs last time I was in. I saved the 20%. And they're so inexpensive and they're such high quality that you might as well have a whole bunch of different pairs for all the different things you do in your life. BlendersEyewear.com. Use our code Kaplan to save 20%. All right. Lots more to get to. Our man, Brett Weiss, is going to stop by. We'll get to that. And NBA basketball playoffs getting started. Hang around, everybody. Hey guys, as always, quick halftime update here. So when we talk about supporting the partners here on the show, let me talk about Mushroom Life. I met with Brett Weiss on Friday of last week when we were off. I told him what was going on with Browner. By the way, we've talked about this on the show already, but I want to just make a mention of it here again real quick. I mentioned what was going on with Browner. Brett went home and because I told him I was about to seed this GoFundMe, before I could even make my GoFundMe donation to Browner and his family, Brett beat me to it. Brett was the first person to donate to Browner. Now, here's why I mention this. Because he's got an amazing product, okay? Mushroom Life and the Life Brew coffee is incredible. For me, I find that I get hyper focused when I'm on it. You're not getting high. This is not, you know, mushrooms to get you high like that. This is mushrooms to get you focused. It's also an anti-inflammatory and it's damn good. It tastes great. So it's mushroom coffee. And apparently this is like a whole big new craze. And Brett, being in the world of mushrooms, this is what he's into now. But let me just say this. If you love Browner and you want to help support the show, this guy threw up the first $500. So go to his website, Life Brew, L-Y-F-E, lifebrew.com. Use our code KLIFE, L-Y-F-E, KLIFE20. You'll save 20% and he throws in a whole bunch of other goodies. Support our man, because let me tell you something. You talk about a guy who took immediate action, our man Brett Weiss at Mushroom Life. Hey, let me give another quick shout out here to my man Gary Cooper, 858-376-1299 for Gary Cooper and Mountain Trust Realty Services. I tell you guys the same thing every weekend. My girlfriend and I, we go for these walks. We go into open houses. We're looking. We're trying to decide. What are we going to do? You know, my daughter's going to graduate high school in May. Her son's going to graduate high school the following May. What are we going to do? Where are we going to live? Are we going to downsize from this house to that house? So we're looking. And that's why when you're thinking about real estate, you got to talk to Gary Cooper, 858-376-1299. You might be thinking about moving out of the state right now because the homeowner's insurance has gotten out of control. And you're like, that's it. Screw it. I'm out of here. Talk to Gary Cooper, buying, selling, financing, Gary Cooper, Mountain Trust Realty, 858-376-1299. Hey, big shout out to our people at Torrey Holistics, California Holistics, and now Oxnard Holistics. Here's another like customer service complaint. Apparently a great friend goes into Torrey Holistics this past weekend and he goes to buy some stuff. And he says, hey, I want my 20% off. And the person who's there says, okay, you're using the code Kaplan Crew, but you have to spend $75 or more to get your 20% off. Please don't walk in, spend $30 and then go, where's my 20% off? We've been telling you this for 5 years. You walk in, you spend $75 or more, you get 20% savings. By the way, the second time you go in, they're giving you 30. And the third time you go in, you're getting 35%. So take advantage of these savings, but don't be a dick. Okay. Cause then they contact me and they're like, dude, you cannot believe this guy just came in, freaked out. They gave him the 20%, by the way, they took good care of him. But still, when you spend $75 or more at Torrey Holistics or California Holistics or Oxnard Holistics, they'll give you 20% by just using our code Kaplan Crew. So get out there, get what you need. and have a good time. Okay. I think that's it. Let's get back to the show. Let's do it. Hey, great friends. What's going on? It's Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. So, Alex, tonight, and I say tonight, coming up not that long from right now.
Right.
Lakers and Pelicans tonight in the play-in, and then Golden State and Sacramento tonight in the play-in.
Yep.
I know you said that you don't start watching NBA basketball till Christmas, and then you admitted to us last week that you haven't been watching the Lakers at all, and I kind of told you that it was sort of a byproduct of San Diego State in the NCAA tournament, then the women's tournament, and then you know the start of the baseball season and getting kind of back into the routine of being into the Padres every night. Will you be watching Lakers-Pelicans?
All right. My answer is I plan to. Will I guarantee it? No. You know what? That's what's sad. Like, is there a Laker fan that can talk me through it? Because you remember when I went to spring break and I had this conversation with my buddies who were all Laker fans, and we all agreed that there was maybe six of us, that all six of us have never felt more disconnected with the Lakers ever in our lives than we do right now. And I have a very difficult time. You know, when the Vikings are the Vikings, I can root for the Vikings. Like, it doesn't really matter which players are in. You know, I didn't like Mike Zimmer that much, but I could still root for the Vikings. For whatever reason with the Lakers, there's just like, it feels like a little bit more personal relationship, and I just don't have it with them. And I feel so disconnected from the team. It's probably because who's the coach is, who the players are, but my plan is to watch it, Scott. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, my plan is too, but as you were saying that, I must just tell you, I got to take a, what do you call it? A full stop. I got to call a full stop. You're not going to believe this.
You're not going to believe this.
My phone just went off, and it was a longtime great friend.
Yeah.
And you know how earlier in the show we were talking about Browner and this GoFundMe and how we originally set out to raise $3,000 and earlier today we were already over $10,000. And I mentioned that yesterday, Toby McDonald from Rock and Wine Tours donated $1,000. And then we had somebody else who anonymously donated $1,000. But I know who the guy is because he reached out to me and I've known him for a long time. You're not going to believe this.
What?
We just got another anonymous donation, but I know who the guy is. $2,500 for Browner's Family Fund.
Wow.
We are now at $13,422. We set out to raise $3,000 to help Browner pay for funerals for his sister and his mother and all the travel back and forth to Chicago and all the childcare and everything else that was happening and all the financial stress to go along with all of the emotional stress. This person, who if I said his name on the air, people would know exactly who he is. He's a famous San Diegan. I will tell you that right now. He's famous in the sports world. He's famous in the business world. And he said to me, he goes, please don't say my name on the air because he donated anonymously. And I think a lot of people, what happens is once you do things like this, everybody then expects you to do it time and time and time again. And there's only so much that people can do and give. But wow. I mean, wow. $2,500. And I said to him, I said, hey, that's insanely generous. And maybe a little over the top, you know, I said, but you know, who am I to tell you how to donate and how to help people? So I'll just keep my mouth shut and say, thank you. Wow. We have gone from zero on Friday to like $6,000 quickly with all the great friends, 20, 50, 100, 500, whatever, 619 by Joe Rigby. Man, $13,000 for Browner.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you shut this thing down?
Well, he's got to do it, I think.
I mean, maybe we just decide to raise $1 million.
Why not?
I don't know. Then I'm going to give him $997,000 to me and $3,000 to him because he only needed $3,000.
the people could take their donations back. That's that's called fraud.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh, oh man, that's amazing. Truly incredible.
That happens. Wow. Listen, man, I don't know. I just want to, like, it's happening like in the middle of the funeral too.
Right.
You know, like it's like for a reason.
Right. That's just it. I mean, he's literally at this funeral right now. This poor kid is just an emotional wreck like anybody else would be when you lose your sister and your mother back to back. You showed that picture yesterday on the show where it's a picture of Browner, his mom and his sister. And you realize dad wasn't part of the picture. Dad wasn't in, dad literally was not in the picture. And now you've lost the two women in your life. And to have this sort of stress be lifted off your shoulders that the great friends have come to your rescue financially. This particular person even said, he goes, listen, I'm still willing to pay for his therapy too, because he's going to need it. So that is just, man, am I moved? I am just absolutely touched by this. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Incredible. All right, let me go back. Let me go back. This is Kaplan and Crew. It is the 7 Mile Casino Studios. We were talking about the NBA playoffs, for at least we were starting to talk about the NBA playoffs.
Can I just say one more thing?
Yeah.
Because I don't think when he comes back on Thursday, I'm not going to start peppering him with questions about anything. So I just want to tell people, like, if he comes back on Thursday and we don't discuss it, it's because he doesn't want to. But I will tell you all this, and I feel comfortable saying this. Maybe he wouldn't be so happy with me saying this. I've never seen the guy more vulnerable in my life. I've never heard him more vulnerable in my life. I've never heard him so open. I've never heard him even say he's tired. Like, that's the kind of guy Browner is. He doesn't say, I'm tired. And so your donations and your gratitude and your love, I guarantee you, will go so far for him and his family that whether he says it publicly, I'm sure he'll say something on Thursday. But I promise you guys, this is a guy that deserves it, needs it. And he may not say it, but he loves you guys for it.
Oh, dude, he's going to say something. I guarantee you that. He already told me. He's like, dude, this is when we had like $5,000 and he could breathe and go, oh, my God, thank God I can pay for this funeral right now. He said he's going to talk about this on Thursday. And listen, I hate to tell you guys, but I'm very nosy, as you know, and you guys know that. I'm curious also. I hate to, you know, I hate to put all of his business on the air, but people have been asking me and I don't have answers. I don't know. You know, I don't know what happened with his sister. I really don't. And I don't know very much about what happened with his mother. But I know that our brother is, like, you know, hurting really, really badly. And you guys have come to his rescue in a huge way. And, man, I just can't even believe it. Okay, listen. Let me go back to the NBA playoffs here for a quick second. Lakers-Pelicans, okay? So, if you watch the game Sunday, it was the last game of the regular season. I don't know how many people were watching it. Sunday, to me, was a great sports day. You had Lakers-Pelicans, which is the game I was interested in. You had the Masters, which was, you know, I'm usually interested in the Masters. I will admit. And maybe it's the last 20 years have been Tiger, Phil, and those two guys have been at the top of the golf world. And now they're both not. You know, Tiger Woods, I think it was on Sunday, shot the highest that he'd ever shot in a major. 82, I think, was his score. And I don't remember exactly what his total number was, but I don't know. He may have been 20 over par for the Masters.
I know he finished dead last.
Yeah. And Phil Mickelson, Phil's invisible to me. You know, I honestly, like, Phil Mickelson is invisible to me. And when I say that, it's not personal. What I mean is that the only thing I saw of Phil Mickelson was Thursday before the round teed off. And, you know, Phil used to always wear that gear that had all of his different sponsors on it. Now he's got these logos on his hat and his shirt. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. Is that a UFL football team? That I really don't know what it is. I don't know how the LIV Golf Tour works. I don't understand the team dynamic of LIV Golf. I have no interest in it. I've never watched any of it. I'm not going to any of those events. And it's not because I'm making some political protest. It's just because I'm honestly kind of disgusted by the guys, though, who ran off, took the money. And ultimately, in my opinion, at least thus far, they've destroyed golf, pro golf. You know, the way I say it is this. I said it, you know, earlier this year when I was at the Farmers Insurance Open, there was no buzz at all. You're giggling because you probably were never into golf.
No, I'm giggling because if Phil would have just listened to us, and I think he kind of did, don't say anything. This is all going to boil over. And now no one even bats an eye when someone takes the money. You know, no one, which is what happens in life, dude. Like, the first guy always gets crucified and the rest get the free pass. You know, if Rory would have taken, if there was a rumor this weekend that he had an $840 million offer on the table from Liv, he shut it down. He says, not true. I'm not taking it. But if he would have been the biggest hypocrite in the world for all the stuff he said. John Rahm already took that crown, though. Like, John Rahm was anti-Liv, and then he took the cash, and now he hates his life because he hates the golf that's happening in Saudi Arabia or the Liv golf. Like, there's no fulfillment for these guys besides money. There's nothing that is going to fulfill them like playing in the PGA Tour by playing for Liv. We all understand why they took the paper. They took the cash, yo. Like, so yeah, did they destroy golf? Probably. Is golf going to look different in like 3 or 4 years? Probably. But when this happens, man, just shut up. It'll all boil over. You don't need to apologize.
Yeah, but
whether you,
but you know what, though, dude? Nobody's, and this is just my own opinion, even golf fans are not as interested in golf anymore, because golf fans probably are not watching the LIV Tour. I don't know when the LIV Tour plays. I don't know. I have no idea where to watch the LIV Tour. I have no idea about the team aspect of the game. Mm-hmm. I don't know where the tournaments are around the world. And the guys who have left the PGA Tour, to me, they're forgotten guys unless they come back for majors.
It's the absolute same thing that you don't know about, but I see it every single day when I watch European soccer. Cristiano Ronaldo plays for a Saudi Arabian team right now. And when you look at the team he plays for, there's legit dudes on his team. Like, there's other guys that followed him from massive clubs. Manchester United, you know, Liverpool, obviously Ronaldo. Like, his team's got, like, dudes on it. No one cares. Not a single soul cares. They air on BN Sports. You got that channel?
Yeah, I don't know if I do, but it just goes to prove one thing to you. You know, you could be Ronaldo. You could be Phil Mickelson. You could be one of the biggest stars in your sport. You as an individual are not bigger than your league.
Yeah.
And Phil Mickelson thought all along that he was bigger than the PGA Tour. And he thought he could go and start his own tour. And he could take the money and he could take the stars and they could take the money and then they would take the fans and they would take the sponsors and TV, and they haven't. Yeah. The PGA Tour, even in its current form, is bigger than Phil Mickelson and John Rahm and every other guy that took the money and ran.
I will say.
But they've done their damage.
It depends on the league. Because Messi's kind of proven you a little bit wrong. Because when Messi came here, he is bigger than MLS.
But Messi went from the top league down.
Yeah. Yes.
Phil Mickelson went from the top league down and has not elevated the second league.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, Mickelson, like, I think Tiger would do that for Liv. I think there's levels to it. You know, like, Messi is, you know, Phil is not Tiger. He never was. He just was the Robin as Tiger was doing all the main stuff.
But if Tiger Woods left today and went to the LIV Tour, he would give them some level of credibility that he has given them his stamp of approval. Yeah. But let me be honest about it. He can't do anything with them in terms of helping them with golf because he's not good anymore.
Well, if they went from 3 rounds to 2, he would.
Maybe.
Because he runs out of gas.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they let him drive a cart.
Hey, listen. All I know is this. Phil Mickelson can't carry the LIV
Tour.
John Rahm can't carry the tour.
Yeah.
And you know what? I got news for you. Messi can't carry the MLS. It was exciting and interesting the first few games that he was here. Now MLS is just back to being MLS.
I think you're kind of wrong.
Okay. Well, I mean, listen, all I can tell you is this. I was more interested in women's college basketball this past year than I have been in MLS. Well, I'm not trying to knock MLS.
Yeah. I just think, like, and here's what I mean. Go look up an LAFC ticket right now when they play Salt Lake City.
Yep.
And then go look up that same ticket when they play Inter Miami.
Oh, I'm sure
the money's, the proof is in the pudding. Like, Apple TV got a massive bump of subscriptions because of Messi. You know, that's where it counts.
I'm sure that that's the case. But can I just ask everybody this question? Mm-hmm. Last year when Messi got to Miami and he started scoring all these outrageous goals, and he had another one just the other day. He had a long-range goal Like there was that initial interest, and now I'm, for me, I'm just back to MLS is MLS. I'm not last year. Ooh, MLS, right. Messi. That's just right.
And now I know we're talking, we're fruit salading this thing, mm-hmm. but now that's the next step that the WNBA is going to go through. Like, is this just a flash in the pan? Like, we're interested now, and then long term we don't care with Caitlin Clark, or is this a substantial, like, step up for the WNBA?
I suspect it's probably a step up, but I don't think it's like 10 steps up. And by the way, it may only last a short period of time. I don't know if it's sustainable. I don't know yet.
Right. Not sure. But this step is a massive step.
Big time. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me just have 1 second to say this. Speaking of big steps, hey, my guy, Gary Cooper, 858-376-1299, Mountain Trust Realty Services. I read an article this morning that, you know, we've all expected that interest rates would come down. And then when interest rates would come down, people would start saying, okay, I'm ready to sell my house. And people who are like, hey, I can't get a loan right now when interest rates are 7%, but I can get a loan when rates are 3% or 4%. I read an article this morning that said, don't expect interest rates to come down anytime soon. I don't exactly know what that means for a lot of people, other than maybe this. Maybe people bought homes under the expectation that rates were going to come down. And then they find themselves, you know, a year or two from now going, I can't afford these interest rates. And they foreclose perhaps, which might be somebody else's opportunity. I'm not an expert in interest rates or mortgage rates or anything like that, but Gary Cooper is. 858-376-1299. 858-376-1299. You should call him. You should talk to him. There are so many people that are right now in the state of California that are going, you know what? It's hard to live here. Gas is expensive. Food is expensive. Utilities are expensive. Homes are ridiculously expensive. Homeowners insurance is impossible to get. You know what? I'm out of here. If you're talking about possibly selling your house, talk to Gary. He can help you buy, sell, anything related to the financing side of it. Talk to Gary Cooper, Mountain Trust Realty Services, 858-376-1299. All right, let's go back to the beginning of this conversation, Alex. Lakers and Pelicans tonight. You say you're not guaranteed that you're going to watch it. I've got two Prize Picks play on Lakers Pelicans tonight, but I'm also thinking this: after that game is Golden State and Sacramento.
Yeah,
I have not put anything on that game, and I'm thinking that maybe I will. You know, this whole idea that I heard people talking about it this week, and I know it's only Tuesday. You know what the Lakers should do, Alex? The Lakers should tank this game on Tuesday so that they could go home and play against the winner of Golden State Sacramento. And I'm like, are you people crazy?
Right.
The Lakers are not good enough to lose this game intentionally under the expectation that they are automatically going to win against Golden State or Sacramento. Anybody who thinks that, you're out of your freaking mind.
And it was also a guy that we used to have on the show a few times, Harrison Fagan, who was the one that was pushing this narrative on social media, and he was getting roasted. And rightfully so. Like, if you are that scared of the Nuggets, where you think you could just toss a game and then automatically go beat the Warriors or Kings, like, on what planet are you living? Have you watched the Lakers play basketball this year? Because I haven't, and I even know that's dumb. Like, the Lakers are not good enough to do that. They're not good enough to do anything on purpose because you don't know what kind of team they're going to get.
By the way, Golden State and Sacramento this year combined played against the Lakers, I want to say, 8 or 9 times. And the Lakers only won one game against those two teams combined all year. Not to mention that I saw Golden State about a week and a half ago go to the Lakers and shoot 62% from 3-point range.
Right.
You cannot take your chances against Steph Curry.
No. And then with that team, with the Warriors, you never know. You never know if they're going to drop 140 on your head. Never know. And you really, and honestly, can you have them? And I don't think the Lakers are actually going to do it because I don't think they can. But are you honestly that much of a loser that you're scared of a team like the Nuggets?
Here's
and who's to say you can go beat the Thunder?
Right. But here's another question for you. Why are you so arrogant as to assume that you would beat Golden State or Sacramento? That's number one. Number two, why are you so arrogant as to think that you should automatically like throw this game against New Orleans when you may have a very, very, very hard time beating them in this game? And here's one last question for you. If the Lakers were to play Oklahoma City in the postseason and win that series, and Oklahoma City's the number one seed. And then they eventually face Denver. What is it? Is it a more successful season because they got knocked out by Denver in a later round than an earlier round? Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
The idea of throwing a game because you're going to play a weaker opponent later in the week when you're an eight seed, and Anthony Davis has played in more games this year than any year of his career, and LeBron James has shot better from three-point range than any year in his career and has been healthy for practically the whole year. And the best you can do is an eight seed, and you think you're good enough to throw a game to, I mean, people are out of their minds.
Yeah. I don't get it. You know what's funny? If they lose today,
yeah,
they're going to be like, yeah, they're doing it on purpose.
Oh yeah. Right. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And then tomorrow or whenever the next game would be, when they lose that one, then what?
Yeah. Well, then they fire their coach, and then LeBron makes all of his threats. And then the answer is, get rid of LeBron, start over. And the answer is Bronny James. That's the answer.
I might have to turn my Laker card in. I might have to bust a Browner.
All right, stick around. We're in the 7 Mile Casino studio, 7milecasino.com. Our friend Brett Weiss from Mushroom Life and the Life Brew coffee brand, Brett's stopping by. He seeded the Browner Fund. We're going to talk to Brett Weiss next. Stick around. Hey, great friends. What's going on? Hey, it's Kaplan and crew with Grande and the Brown Man. And we come to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. Hey, Grande, yesterday at this time during the show, we had on Don McGuire, who is the chief marketing officer of Qualcomm. And he talked yesterday about Snapdragon Stadium, about being involved with the Mercedes F1 team and Lewis Hamilton. He talked about putting the name Snapdragon on the front of the kit for Manchester United. Yeah. And I thought, and I got a lot of positive feedback from that yesterday. I thought it was really, really interesting because you're not accustomed to driving down the road in San Diego or anywhere in Southern California and hearing a C-suite executive like Don talk about the biggest publicly traded company in San Diego employing over 20,000 people. And their infusion into sports. I found the conversation yesterday to be fascinating. What'd you think?
I immediately followed up and was like, where's my jersey? I want to know. I want to break some news, Scott. I want to know the colors. I want to know what it looks like. Because I don't know if you know this, but you know soccer teams get new jerseys every year, right?
Not sure I knew that.
Yeah, well, they do. Like, absolutely brand new jerseys every single year. And it's a big thing. So I'd like to break that news. And I emailed Don and I was like, please send me that jersey as soon as you can.
Well, his people right away got back to us and said, look, we're going to unveil all this stuff in July when Manchester United comes to Snapdragon Stadium and does it in San Diego. And his people were like, we'll get you some of those new jerseys. So, I mean, for me, I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever. But you seem to think it's a really big deal. So now that you want one, I want two.
Okay. You want two?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not just one.
Yeah, I want two.
Selfish.
Yeah. One up you. All right, let me say this. I've told this story a couple times so far this week. It's only Tuesday, but I'll tell it again. On Friday of last week, I met our friend Brett Weiss for breakfast. And we knew we weren't going to be on the air that day because Browner was back in Chicago dealing with his sister and his mom and the funerals. And Alex was in a wedding in Texas, and I was all by myself. And people were like, well, why aren't you doing a show without those guys? Because I am one person. I don't know, man. I don't have anybody else. In fact, I had a few other people say to me, well, why don't you teach me? Teach me how to produce the show. I'll produce it when Alex can't. Okay, I'll try. But anyway, Brett and I met for breakfast that morning. And I was telling Brett, you know, hey, man, you had this great idea about creating this college fund for Browner's four kids. And that was super sweet of you. But I told Brett what was going on in Browner's life. And Brett was like, oh, dude, I've got to contribute to a GoFundMe. And so, you know, I left the restaurant. I was 1 mile from my house. By the time I'd gotten home and I thought I was going to seed the Browner Fund, Brett beat me to it and put up the first $500. So I was like, man, that is just so generous and so sweet. And I said it to you yesterday. Now, when you see what Brett does for our family, you gotta take care of him too. You gotta support what he does. And so whether that's the Mushroom Life products or the Life Brew coffee, here to talk about all of this, Brett Weiss back on Kaplan and Crew. Hey, Brett.
Mr. Kaplan, how are you, sir?
Doing great, man. How are you today?
you know, it's today's Tuesday. The sun is shining. Nice. There's no rain in the forecast today. And I'm smiling, you know, mostly because we were able to help out your that big, tall, husky drink of water, Browner. You know, that just when I met with you on Friday, you know, you told me what happened and it was the least I can do. And I'm sorry that I beat you to the punch, but sometimes people move a little bit quicker when you're younger than you are. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it just it brought such smiles and compassion to myself. And just there are good people out there that take care of those in need at the times of need.
Brett, you know that you started that Browner GoFundMe with $500, right?
I do, yes.
I put in $500. We made it 1,000. My radio colleague in LA, George Sedano, put in $500. We had 1,500. Another friend in LA put in $100. We had 1,600. That all happened in a very, very short period of time. Okay. By the time Friday was over, and I'm talking, I don't even know, like, I don't mean midnight Friday. I mean like 5-6 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday. In one day, in like 6 hours, we were already at like $6,000. Did you know this? That's
awesome. What are you at now?
You want to take a guess?
99.42.
We were at about 10,000 today. We're at 13,500 right now.
Wow.
We just had a longtime listener and a great friend donate $2,500 anonymously. Yesterday, because we started talking about this on the radio, we had somebody donate $1,000 anonymously. And yesterday we had a guy who's been working with us for years, who does all of our short form videos on YouTube. His name is Toby McDonald. He owns a company called Rock and Wine Tours in Temecula, where they take like bachelorette parties on winery tours. And, you know, these guys are all dressed like rock and roll dudes in kilts, and these guys are out of their minds. He donated $1,000 yesterday.
Can you give me an invite to the next bachelorette party?
I want an invite to the next bachelorette party. You're an Arizona alum. He had like the Arizona State like cheerleaders recently at his at a rock and wine tour.
I would do a cheerleader, no problem. Anybody else from Arizona State, I'd have to bypass. You know, just I got my morals.
Yeah, you got your standards, huh? In the meantime, you got to see all these Arizona State girls all in pink skirts, and they are showing, dude, they're doing some things
right now.
They're doing some things in these buses, and I got some pictures, and it's pretty impressive.
I think the goal is, I mean, when we spoke last Friday, you told me he was looking to raise three.
Yep, obviously, 3 grand.
We've blown that away.
Yep.
And we're at what? Do you know the exact number right now? I guess I could look.
Alex, you know the number?
13,422.
$13,422.
So, yes, when the last time I was on the show, I brought up I'd love to set up some type of college fund for Browner's kids, and he appreciated that. He'd rather have some other type of fund. Well, right now we have something in need at hand. I want to help Browner get to 15,000. So we're about 1668 away. Is that right?
I think maybe right? Like 2,600 bucks.
Yeah.
You're right. You know, no,
look 13, at us do 14, math.
15,000 minus 13.
Oh, I thought you said 16,000. I didn't understand why you wanted to do 16,000. Yeah. You want to get it to 15 grand?
I want to get to 15,000. So I'm hoping the viewers who purchase a product or like to purchase a product between now and 420 on my three websites, I'm going to donate back 20% of the proceeds on top of you guys utilizing the discount. So it's basically 100% proceeds donated back to Browner's fund for his tragedies that are occurring now.
All right, let's talk about these different websites real quick. This is Brett Weiss, everybody. Brett's been a great partner to the show, and obviously a great, member of our great friends community. First, he's holding up the Life Brew coffee. Now, Brett, that's the original Life Brew coffee. Now, you've given me some samples of some things that you're doing with the Life Brew coffee. Oh, it's a top secret?
No, you could talk about it. I want your feedback. Yes, this is the original recipe. Still phenomenal, but we've tweaked it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And what do you think the tweak is, Scott? Have you tried the K-cups and the
stuff I gave you? I've had the one K-cup. What is the tweak? I don't know. I'm not really sure.
So the only complaint I've gotten about the product in the last 3 months is it tastes kind of watered down. I love it because it's kind of like a latte. So we upped the coffee profile. So it's more of that robust coffee purist. I don't need to put it in another cup of coffee drink, but it still has that coconut milk powder to give you that latte like creaminess.
Okay.
Now believe it or not, I got Mama Padilla a bag of Mushroom Life coffee, and she's a very big fan of
Did you purchase that for me or did you get it for free?
Oh, come on. I don't buy anything.
Well, how does Mama like it? It works.
She loved it. She was here for like 4 days and I had two bags in the cupboard and she was like, is that the coffee you guys are always talking about? I said, yeah. She said, can I have it? I was like, absolutely. She took it with her and she's been drinking it every day.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
So yeah. We got the current formula, which is a regular caffeinated product. It's got 45 milligrams of caffeine, half the amount of a regular cup of coffee, everyone. But because of the six different functional mushrooms, turkey tail, lion's mane, king trumpet, they all act in synergy to kind of give you this focus, this clarity, this awareness, this alertness. I mean, Scott, you've been taking it for months. I mean,
yeah.
When I don't drink a cup of coffee in the morning and it takes me 45 minutes to get to work and I get here and I take a cup, I'm like, I feel different. I need it every single morning.
Well, for me, Brett, this morning I had to drive to LA at 4:15 a.m. So what I usually do is I take my regular cup of coffee and then I take one scoop of the Life Brew coffee and I put it in and then I stir it up. And because, again, there is like a latte-ish sweetness kind of texture-ish thing going on. Yeah. And I drank that cup of coffee on my way to L.A. because it was early in the morning. Really early. And it was black. I mean, like super pitch blackout. And I was flying at 90 miles an hour, but totally, totally zoned in and focused and concentrated. So you mentioned three websites and you're going to give a portion of the proceeds back to this Browner Fund.
Correct.
So the first one is Life Brew, L-Y-F. E-B-R-E-W, lifebrew.com. Alex, I know you put them up on the screen for a second. Mm-hmm. So Life Brew Bread is where everybody buys the Life Brew coffee, right?
Correct. The instant coffee.
Okay. What's the other sites you want people to visit?
Two websites. One your viewers should know is mushroomlife.com, M-U-S-H-R-O-O-M-L-Y-F-E.com.
Okay, mushroomlife.com.
And on that, we have a ML42. So it's a 42% off sale between now and Sunday. And then the third company, we've spoke a little bit about it, is my Smilin' Wellness, which is involved in the CBD and the hemp space.
Okay, wait, hold on real quick. Wait, just go back one thing. Yep. Mushroomlife.com, okay? If people put in the code MUSH42, you're going to give a 42% discount. Did I get that right?
You 100%. And Life Brew 40. 40% off. And I'm basically I'm going to be donating all proceeds from now until Sunday to Browner on the Life Brew and the Mushroom Life website and a good portion of the Smilin' website as well.
Okay. But I just want to go back to Mushroom Life for a second, because I gave a bunch of Mushroom Life products to a friend of mine who's into natural mushroom products as a, alternative to prescription pills. This guy told me that the sleep formula for Mushroom Life is the best product he's ever used to help him sleep. So I've heard that from a few different people. So the Mushroom Life gummies are an alternative to, like, what's the name of that prescription
Xanax
stuff people
or
use?
To melatonin or
there's a prescription Ambien, yes. Right? So if you're taking Ambien right now, that's bad for you, man. Like, try some of these Mushroom Life products for sleep. Because everybody's reporting how great they are.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Plant-based medicine. Plants were put on this earth for a reason. And if we use them properly, we can all see the benefits and live a better life.
Okay. All right. So the Mushroom Life products are there. MUSH42. You're going to save 42% between now and 420. And then the last one you were about to mention is something that we've really never talked about on the radio or on YouTube or on TV before. What's the third website there, Alex? Let's throw that up on the screen. Yeah, go for it, Brett. Tell us what we're looking at here with Smilin'.
So my original company I started back in 2016 is called Smilin' Wellness. We're involved in the CBD and the legal hemp cannabinoid space. And the first picture you see there is what's called THCA flower. When I was out at the Padres thing with you a couple weeks ago, guys, there was a bunch of your fans there, and I was able to pass out some of the pre-rolls that we manufacture. We have, 7-gram bags. So essentially what THCA flower is, it's legal weed per se. It falls under the Delta, you can only go over 0.3 Delta 9, and it's considered illegal to put on the marketplace. But this prop, this crop is harvested prior and tested through DEA certified laboratories that when it is tested, it is below 0.3. Now, Scott, I think you've tried it. Browner, Alex, I'm sure you guys may have tried it. It's just like going into a dispensary. In my opinion, the high is not as overwhelming as you can get in a dispensary quality flower, but it's just par on par, if even better than going to a dispensary. And the best part about it is you can buy it on my website. You can buy it at your local smoke shop, vape shop, possibly convenience store. It's federally legal for me to sell flower joints that everybody likes to relax in their home and watch Kaplan and Crew at nighttime reruns and smoke their pre-roll. So
there you go.
Take a look at the website. We'll talk a little bit more probably next time on the when I'm on the podcast about the whole Smiling Wellness product line, and it's phenomenal. I mean, again, plant-based medicine, mushrooms, cannabis. Nothing's going to stop us. The only thing that's going to stop the Suns is who, Alex? The Warriors, the Nuggets?
Stop the Suns?
Yeah.
Are the Suns being worried about it as a team to do anything?
Oh, not at all. I just want to hear your thing. I got into the last part of the Warriors.
Oh, yeah. No, there's two teams. And I mean, really, there's one team in the West. It's the Nuggets.
What did you say?
He said the
there's
Nuggets.
Only one team. The Nuggets, yeah.
I mean,
come on, the Suns aren't going anywhere.
All right, viewers, how about this? If the Suns make the finals, Mr. Kaplan will get Mr. Padilla and I courtside seats at games 6 and 7 when they win the finals this year.
The finals of what? The NBA finals?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you what, you're on. If the Suns make it to the NBA finals and they make it to game 6 or 7,
yep.
I will do whatever it takes to get you guys courtside seats.
How about this? I'm so generous. I'll give up my seat because I don't want to go to that. If the NBA finals.
I'm taking Browner. Me and Browner.
Yeah, take Browner. Yeah, there you Browner's go. A basketball yeah. head. Yeah, take Browner.
Exactly.
That guy watches Wizards Hawks on a Tuesday. Take that guy. Right.
Dude, we're gonna be needing to cheer this dude up for a while.
There's nothing wrong with the Wizards Hawk on a Tuesday or Suns Jazz or Cavaliers Nets.
Yeah, we're gonna be looking to cheer Browner up for a while. We're gonna have to make him happy and just show him all that love. So if the Suns make it to Game 7 of the NBA Finals, you'll be there. But I don't think they'll be there. So
game
I don't think you'll be there.
Game 6 or 7. Don't.
Yeah, one or the other. One or the other. Well, Brett, let me put this up on the screen for everybody one more time just to see this. Brett is really doing something incredibly generous between now and 4/20 coming up. You want to buy his mushroom coffee, the Life Brew coffee. Use the code LIFEBREW40. You'll save 40%. If you want to use and buy any of his Mushroom Life products, could be for sleep, could be for focus, could be for energy, could be for sex drive, mushroomlife.com. Use the code MUSH, MUSH42. You'll save 42%. And Smilin, which is S-M-I-L-Y-N, SmilinWellness.com. You can save 42% on what he was just talking about, this legal flower that you can buy right there on his website. Now, Brett, before you go, who do you have in your arms there?
Oh, this is my new main man, Jack. He's about a 17-week-old Australian Shepherd. He's calm right now. It's like having another baby. Like, I was either, do I knock somebody up or get a puppy? I'm like, I'll have a puppy.
Always the right move.
6 months I train him, but he's my new favorite. You know, when times are tough, when things are rough, go to your dogs.
Where are you at today? You're never in the same place.
I decided to turn around in my office so I could have a better view. You know, I'm going to get that podcast room up and running once you come up here and help me, Alex. So, I mean, Browner's been in my office. You don't venture more out of your living room.
He doesn't go north of the 8.
Yeah. Maybe we can get you
even,
to go north.
Even that's getting a little north for me.
Yeah. He definitely ain't going north of the 56. I'll tell
kinda
you that
like
right now.
Adams Avenue is kind of my border.
So I think we're going to – when's this fundraiser close for Browner?
I mean,
probably today.
Yeah, I kind of think we probably should close it because otherwise we're just going to keep raising. I mean, listen, we needed 3. We probably really needed 10, you know, for the funerals. And now we're at 13 and change. I mean, at this point, I just want to say to everybody, thank you. And let's just close it up. But
yeah, the funeral was.
Yeah, I want to say thank you to everybody. I mean, it takes a village.
Wow. On a ring.
It's not, you know, one person starts the train.
Can't even stop. And, you guys watch The Office, the show, The Office, The American Office.
No. Look at me, can't turn this off.
You literally just did the woof. They had this $1 million idea where he's like, "How about when you get one notification on your phone, it'll pop up on your laptop, your fax machine, your email, your cell phone, your earpiece." Blah, blah, blah. That's just what happened. One thing rang, and the whole building just blew up.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, since you guys are, I mean, I'm a sports buff, but I'm too busy. This what's going on with the Guardians/Indians? Are they really as good as I think they are with no names?
The answer is don't know, because like when it comes to baseball, I watch the Padres and the Dodgers and then whoever they're playing. Like, unlike football where I watch the entire NFL, you know, even in basketball, I watch the Lakers and whoever they're playing. You know, it's just the way, I don't know.
You're a Lakers fan?
I wouldn't call myself a Laker fan. I'm more of a Laker observer.
They get the seventh seed?
Yeah, they're the eighth seed.
So they play
right now. They're playing right now.
Against who, the Pelicans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they winning or losing?
We don't know yet.
Do you want me to tell you?
Good luck. All right, Brett, we got to go. So much love to you. Thank you so much.
Good
and we'll talk
guys.
To you real soon, man. Thank All you for right, everything guys, you did care. For Have Browner. We appreciate it.
Love you, Browner.
Right on, man. All right, there's Thanks, Brett buddy. Weiss. You got it, man. How about that dog, Alex? Dog was
Great
so
dog.
Cute. Yeah.
Good looking dog.
Dog was really, really cute.
I bet he stuck with Brett.
What's that?
with Brett.
Hey, pretty generous though of Brett to
of course,
to keep on doing that, to keep on helping Browner like that. That's really cool.
Yeah. All right. Here it is one more time, by the way, just real Go quick. Ahead.
Yeah.
Whatever. It is 420, which has kind of slipped our minds with everything that's going on. But yes, LifeProof 40 is promo code at lifeproof.com, mushroomlife.com, mush42, smilingwellness.com, smile42 to get 40 and 42% off.
Yeah, and 420 is this Saturday. And I know last week when we were talking to Charlie Rawls from Torrey Holistics, California Holistics, and Oxnard Holistics, he's like, guys, I will be too busy to be talking to you guys next week. That was this week. And so, you know, listen, make sure you're hitting up your friends at Torrey, California, and Oxnard Holistics. All right, listen, if you are with us on radio, on 1090, old school, traditional, terrestrial radio, stay tuned. We got a lot more to get into. We're going to talk about what the Padres did yesterday. Their game is, you know, already underway or supposed to be underway. So stay tuned for that. Lots more to come. We're in the 7 Mile Casino Studios. This is Kaplan and Crew. All right, everybody, getting ready to wrap things up here on a Tuesday. And I'll just say this, you know, it was great to have Brett on the show, and I really wanted to give him a little bit of extra time today, because usually we bring Brett on the uncensored portion, A, because he curses a lot, which is fine, B, because, you know, just radio and TV and you know, the products that he sells. I'm not saying that they're illegal, they're not, but just, you know, usually better for uncensored. But I really felt like we needed to give him a little bit of extra love because of what he did for Browner. And it's hard to believe, Alex, that we started the show today. And I think when we started in the opening segment, I mentioned that we were up over $10,000. Mm-hmm. And here we are at the end of today's broadcast, and we're up to $13,500.
Yeah, we just got another donation like a minute ago.
Really?
Yeah. John Glennie.
Oh, John Glennie's an angel. I love John Glennie. What a great guy he is. You know, John Glennie's been around the show for years. You know John?
Yeah, of course.
What a great guy. Oh, what a sweetheart. I'm telling you, at some point, we got to talk to Browner. And I know today's not today because today's the actual funeral, but we got to talk to Browner about, we got to pump the brakes on this thing. You know?
Let's just let him get his money.
Yeah, I guess it's probably, you know, the best thing for him is to take that financial, you know, stress away, you know, even when he comes back. So,
yeah,
you know, if there's a couple extra bucks in there for him.
Well, Thursday's supposed to be back, huh?
That's what he told me. I mean, today's Tuesday. Today he's burying his mom. I suspect he'll, you know, he's been cleaning up her apartment and kind of putting her affairs together. And I'm just taking a guess here that he'll probably come back to San Diego tomorrow. And then he says he wants to get back to work. He's welcome to take as long as he needs. I can tell you that.
Yep. We have a full week this week.
Yeah. And one of the guys who earlier today donated $2,500 anonymously hit me up and said, when he needs counseling and therapy, I'm here for it.
Yeah, you're kind of giving it away.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
Our listeners are very intent listeners.
No, they're not. They don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, I do now. So if I figured it out, someone figured it out.
Well, I'll tell you this. A guy who donated $1,000 anonymously, nobody would know his name, but you and I know him because we got to hang out with him a little bit last year in Houston for the Final Four. And he Jim just donated, Nance? Not Jim Nance, but good guess.
Imagine.
Yeah, that would be amazing. You know, I had a really interesting conversation with Ian Eagle yesterday. I told the I-Man, I said, hey, Ian, I wanted to let the dust settle after the Final Four. But I just wanted to tell you that the best compliment I can give you about how great you were during the Final Four is that I didn't miss Jim. And that's not to knock Jim at all. I love Jim Nance, and I love Jim this past weekend on the Masters, and it was great to hear him on the Masters. Right. But Ian Eagle is such a great basketball announcer, and you know, Jim had decided it was time for him to spend more time with his family and step away. And Ian just walked into that role seamlessly. And
it's
I
like, do you remember when Jim Lampley left HBO boxing? It just wasn't the same.
Right.
When you watch a big fight, right? When you watch a big fight and Jim Lampley's on the call, you could feel it.
Right. Yeah. I and it's not a knock at Jim Nance. It's just, it's a compliment to Ian Eagle. Ian Eagle, Jim was here and Ian is just right there. He's right there. The only difference is the number of years that Jim has called the Final Four versus Ian calling the Final.
But you know what's crazy? They're so different styles. And that's like what is so amazing. Normally when you go from this like traditional, classy, kind of very, very polished, which Ian is those things, but Ian is a lot more modern, more references, more, you know, like little quirks here and there.
Little humorous things.
Humorous things, right. Yeah. Their styles are so different, and yet people didn't clamor for Jim Nance. But because Ian's so good at what he does, and what he did was, I know what I did. I know what I am. I'm just going to keep doing it. So you guys hired me for a reason.
Yeah. And they didn't replace Jim with somebody who like is a comparable name. Like they didn't go, hey, we're losing Jim Nance, but we're throwing in Joe Buck.
Right.
You know, they didn't throw in, I'm making this up, Al Michaels. You know, they didn't say, hey, Jim Nance is such a monster superstar that we have to replace him with such a monster superstar name. They replaced him with the best guy for the job.
Right.
You know, and Ian just did a fantastic job. And he wrote me this note.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
He wrote me this note and he said, man, he goes, I can't even begin to tell you how much it means to me to have you send me that sort of a compliment. And I wasn't trying to like suck up, although I was just sort of kind of nut like, hey, here's some really great compliments. And the next text will be, hey, we need to get you come on the show and talk about all this stuff. I didn't want to like hit him with all of it at the same time, but he was really flattered that he, that I sent him that message yesterday. So,
yeah. Cause I mean, worth. CBS could have gone millions of different routes, right? There's a bunch of dudes that are capable of doing the job for basketball. You just imagine though, like the conversation would have been different if Gus Johnson took over.
Hey, listen, the conversation might've been different if Kevin Harlan took over.
Right.
You know, Kevin works for CBS. Kevin does college basketball for CBS. TNT. And Kevin is a completely different character. And as much as everybody loves Kevin, people might have said, well, Kevin's so excitable and he does something so different than what Jim does. Somebody throws a chicken wing on the floor. He's like, why would they do that? It's such a good thing. You saw that chicken wing thing last week, didn't you? So, yeah, Ian flew under the radar, you know, brilliant, but no controversy, no storylines, just brilliant, smooth.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Yeah. All right. Listen, we're back.
He passed it on to his son too.
Well, his son is, his son's a very talented young guy.
Too.
Yeah. His son's really good. But listen, the son also gets the benefit of his father is a superstar with CBS.
No, of course. But what I'm saying is, and I guess now I'm going to talk trash about Collinsworth's son. It's like when you watch Collinsworth's son, you're like, what's he got? What's he doing there?
Why is he on there?
But then, like, you hear Noah Eagle, who I think does Clippers games, right?
Yeah,
like,
well, he did.
Like, right. And now you hear him on, like, Nickelodeon or NFL games or whatever he does. And you're just like, yeah.
You know what he does? I think he does NBC. I think he's taking over the Notre Dame games on NBC.
Damn.
And he's, like, in his mid-20s.
Right.
But he's
good, though.
He's terrific. The kid is terrific. Yeah. He has the benefit of a father who's terrific and well-liked and respected. And Ian Eagle has never tried to become anything other than a great play-by-play guy. You know, Joe Buck wants to be play-by-play guy, but he wants to be late-night TV talk show host, you know? And Ian's never done that. He's been like, hey, I'm good calling basketball. and football. I'm good.
Right. Right. And I'm good at it.
Yeah. Consummate announcer.
Yeah.
All right. We're back tomorrow. You know, we'll get Ian on maybe later this week.
Okay.
All right. Listen, we're back tomorrow. So much love yet again. Thanks to this community, to the Great Friends Network for your ongoing support and love for Browner. We hope to get him back on Thursday. I hope he's okay today. Until tomorrow. Peace out, everybody.